Thank you, Olivia. Let's just pray real quick. Father, I just thank you, Jesus, for your word, Lord. And I pray that this evening you would help us to understand it, Lord, that it would go deep into our hearts, Jesus, and that we would know more of you. Amen. Good evening, everybody. This evening, I'd like to start with a quote by C.S. Lewis. And he writes, "Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We're half-hearted, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased." And tonight I thought that this quote was very apt as we begin, because I'd like us to head on holiday to the sea, to discover the incredible treasure that can be found in this passage and in the gospel. And we are right in the middle of our gospel series, and I believe that this week we have come to the main act, the very centre of the gospel, God revealing his love towards us. And tonight we are turning to the cross. We are going to look at the depth of God's love displayed through Jesus. And too often I believe that we live our lives day in and day out, just going about our business and passing the time, completely ignorant of the truth that is found in the gospel. And my prayer is that this evening God would help us awake from our slumber, wipe the sleep from our eyes, and actively pursue this life that is truly life. Now, to be honest, when I read this passage and did some reading around it, I was quite intimidated. Romans is quite intimidating. It is the lowest essay mark I received at college. So, you know, don't hold out much hope, you know. Because this passage and the entire book is full of so many truths, and there are so many different paths that we could take, but I worked really hard to stay on track. So you will not be sitting here for an hour, hopefully. And I just wanted to share some thoughts that I had concerning the revelation of God's love to us through this. And I just want to say that this morning I led Pathfinders, and the feedback I got was, use your hands more. So I think I was quite nervous and I was just reading it like this. And one of them was like, Erin, you need to use your hand. You need to pause there. And at the end, they want me to drop the mic. But I won't do that in case it breaks. Anyway, come with me now as we look at the depth of the love of God and how undeserving we are to receive it. And verse 6 through 8 describes the love of God that the Holy Spirit pours into our hearts. Verse 6, while we were still powerless, helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ loved us and gave himself for us while we were helpless and while we were ungodly. And helpless implies weak, sickly, unable to do anything for yourself, and unable to make any contribution to your salvation. Your salvation, you did not earn it, just so you know. You didn't. There was nothing that you could do in your own strength to gain the salvation and the love of God. Not a thing. Paul in Corinthians says that he chooses the weak things of this world to shame the things that are strong, and that no man should boast about themselves. And when I was reading this through, I was like, helpless. Like a man drowning at sea, you can't do anything to help yourselves. Somebody has to come and help you. You are helpless. But we were not only helpless, we were ungodly. This word means irreverent. And I hope I said it right, because this morning it was a bit of confusion because of my accent. But it means that we were irreverent. You know what it means? We didn't feel was not even on our radar. He was not even a dot in the distance. He wasn't in our sphere. We didn't think about him. We didn't acknowledge him. But that's the way that we were when Jesus died for us. See, the central fact of the love of God is that Christ died for us. He didn't just give his time or his energy, convenience, his money. He sacrificed his life, his sinless, loving, and divine life. But that's not the focus of these. Paul is not talking about Jesus in these verses. He is talking about us. He is talking about our character and where we stood. And this is what shows the love of Christ to be so amazing. This is what I pray the Holy Spirit will pour into our hearts afresh. Verse 7 says that one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, somebody might think about dying. And I love this because I read this and I was like, nobody would die for a righteous man. So if I saw a guy walking in the street and someone said, that's a righteous man, I wouldn't want to die for him. But you know, if I had a burst pipe in my house and somebody came around and fixed it and there was a flood and they made it all better, maybe I would consider buying them a present. I don't think I want to die for them. You see, the likelihood that our mere human love would give its life for any other person is very, very small. But God describes the love of God in verse 8. Paul describes the love of God in verse 8. He says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The depths of God's love for us and Christ's love for us is seen in this. When he chose to love us, even at the cost of Jesus' entire life, we were not worthy of the love. We were worthy of the wrath. We deserved a punishment for our sin against him. We deserved to be abandoned because we did not even acknowledge who God is. But the thing about it is that Christ and Jesus did not wait for any moral improvement in us. He did not wait for us to get better. He did not wait for us to sort our lives out. He died for us in that state, that helpless, ungodless, sinless state. That is when he died for us. You see, before we had even turned towards him, before we had even uttered his name, before we had prayed a prayer, he had us on his mind, and he had us on his mind so much and wanted to be reconciled to us so much that he gave his only son to die a criminal's death. The death that I deserved, Christ died for me. Which means that for all of us who trust in God, the love of God overcame the wrath of God and saved us. So we were guilty, sinners, weak, helpless. We were ungodly, undeserving, and we deserved the wrath of God. And despite all that, God gave his love for us. God gave his son for us. I mean, this is, to me, when I was writing this talk, I was like, I'm saying the same thing over and over and over again because it's so hard to believe it. There was a time in my life that I did not care about God. There was a time in my life when I purposefully turned from him on purpose and knew what I was doing. There was a time in my life where God was not on my radar. And yet, during that time, he loved me still and he died for me still. And that fact will never go away because that is the truth. And there is a last description which has hit home the hardest for me. In verse 10, Paul says, For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Enemy is such a strong term, isn't it? Sin had put us completely in the wrong with God. Like, not a little bit in the wrong. Not like we're just not friends anymore. More like we're in opposition to. An enemy is someone who you don't want to see, you don't want to talk to, and you don't want them to be a part of your life at all. An enemy is someone who you want to be destroyed because you want them gone. But Paul states that we were enemies. But he also states that through the death of Jesus, we have become reconciled. And in verse 11, it says, we have received a reconciliation. And once again, my thought was, well, we did nothing to make this reconciliation happen. This was offered to us. God gave it to us. And the thing is that this gospel is a glorious one. Because it teaches us from the very beginning that God has been looking after us. When our backs were turned, he was still coming for us. He still died for us. For the man and woman and children out there who do not know God at all, who have never heard of him, who have never prayed to him, who have never sang songs or done actions, God died for them. As much as he died for me and you, he died for them as well. And it is God's heart that we are reconciled to him, that we become friends with him. And this was only made possible through the death of Jesus. God loved us when we were his enemies. He loved us before we had even acknowledged his existence. We deserved a punishment and God gave us a gift. The death of Jesus not only reveals God's love for us, it justifies us, saves us, gives us peace, and reconciles us to God. And tonight I want to ask you to send your roots down into the love of Christ. Drink deeply from the love of Christ. Build your life on this love. And if you long to experience it more and more, as I do, pray with me and yearn with me that God would pour his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And this is where revival will happen. It will happen when each one of us knows the love of God, knows it so much that it changes how we live, that we walk out those doors and we cannot keep it in. This is what I'm talking about. The revelation of God's love to us changes us. It changes how we live. It changes how we think. It changes how we look at other people. And this is what we pray for. This is what we pray for. We pray for God to break in. We pray for people to know his love. But my question for you this evening is, do you know his love? Do you know it in the way that I've talked about it? Do you know it that when your back was turned and when you were ignorant, God still loved you and he chased you and he wanted you to be in his family and he wanted to be your friend? He wanted to be your friend. God wants to be my friend. He wants to be your friend. I'm going to finish with a story that I'll tell you. When I first moved to England 12 years ago, I had no friends. I didn't know anybody. And this past week, I've been thinking about this person that I knew. And I was thinking about this when I was thinking about how God wanted to be my friend. And I was thinking about when I first moved here, I worked for a church. And there were lots of young people in the church. And back then, I was young. I can remember, like, sitting in the office, and like there was like four or five, and they would go out for like a pint together after work, or they would go for a sandwich together, and they would never invite me. And I spent 3 or 4 weeks just feeling really alone with no friends, you know. And I love having friends, and that's why it's hard for me to move house, because I have to start all over again and make new friends. But I can remember that I took this girl out for coffee and I said to her, I've taken you out for coffee because I'd really like it if you could be my friend. And she's like, well, I suppose I could be your friend. And I've been friends with her now for 12 years. And when I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, if Jesus was here, he would have taken me for a cup of coffee and asked me to be his friend. But actually, he wanted me to be his friend way more than a cup of coffee. He wanted me to be his friend to the point that he gave his life for me so that I could be his friend. That is love, sacrificial love. Love that is indescribable. Love that is so big that we cannot wrap our heads around it. When we were his enemies, he loved us. When we were his enemies, he loved us. When we didn't think about him, he thought about us. That's amazing, friends. That's amazing. That is the gospel. That is God's love for us. Let's pray to finish. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this love, Lord. This love that is so hard to grasp. Jesus, this love that if we truly believed it deep down in our hearts, it would change the way that we lived, Lord. As C.S. Lewis writes, I don't want to make mud pies, Lord. I want to go to the seaside. We want to know your love deep in our hearts, Father. And I pray, Lord, that this evening, Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, you would pour your love into us, Lord. Lord, that your love would fill up the broken and hurting places in our lives. Jesus, Holy Spirit, we just pray that as we worship you now, Lord, you would come and you would just minister to us in your love, Lord. Amen.